Hello and welcome to Reconnect. This is your host, Barry Phillips. Thank you for your time and your focus for the next 24 and a half minutes together. While recording this program last week, a week ago today, I was interrupted in the recording by a phone call that came from my mom, and I paused the recording, excuse me, to answer her call. She was very distraught, very emotional, and asking for me to pray and hurry and pray. My dad had been gone for a period of time to take off the garbage and had not returned. It was just not like him, and she couldn't find him. That call led to prayers and to subsequent phone calls. And within the next 10, 15 minutes, I heard the words over the phone that no one ever really wants to hear, and that is that their loved one has died. About, 10:30 in the morning last Friday, my dad left this world, and it entered into the arms of Yeshua very suddenly, very unexpectedly, and our whole world has changed. I never did get to finish the recording that I started last week, and in contemplating what I would like to share in the Reconnect program for this week in the podcast and the broadcast as well, I have struggled. Many of you have seen things that I put on Facebook, tributes to my dad. Others have sent cards and made phone calls and expressed love and concern and offered your prayers and your support. And for all of these things, I am just overwhelmed and very, very appreciative and thankful. I have to confess that I have never known the loss of someone closer than perhaps a grandparent. All of my grandparents are gone and been gone for a number of years. But I was quite a bit younger in those days. And the impact of their loss, while emotional and certainly hurtful at the time, was nothing like the grief and the brokenness that I have experienced in the last week. And in confession here, I have to just admit I've failed to be compassionate enough to those who have suffered likewise, because I simply didn't understand how hurtful. I could try to imagine, but until you've tasted it at this level, it's impossible to understand how hurtful, how emotionally devastating it is to lose someone like a parent. So my world has changed. My worldview has changed a bit. My spiritual view has changed a bit, in that I'm realizing the depth of Messiah's compassion. Today in this broadcast, what I would like to do is to play for you my eulogy of my dad. I was presented with the opportunity at the funeral, which took place this past Sunday night. I was offered the opportunity to say a few things. What was originally supposed to be 5 minutes, my siblings came to me and said, please take your time, say whatever you need to say, and offer some insight to who Dad was for us. So 5 minutes turned into 15 minutes, 15 seconds, and it was well received, and heard a lot of very positive comments afterwards. So if you will permit, I will do my best to present the best audio quality that I can. I'd like to thank my dear friend, my best friend, Mike Clayton, who was in the audience, for recording this on his phone. So Mike was sitting at the back of the sanctuary of my mom and dad's church, and he recorded on the phone. So the quality of the audio may be off just a little bit, but I think you can hear, and I will do my best to bring it up to a good production. So please take a few moments and listen to what was said.
thought of this verse just the other day. Had no idea how it would apply to the given moment. In the book of Genesis, chapter 18, three visitors show up at a nomadic man's tent in the middle of nowhere. A man by the name of Abraham. He and his wife passed the age of childbearing, needing an heir. And the King of all kings came to his door that day to tell him the news. This time next year, you're going to have a son. He brought bad news as well with the destruction of the cities of the plain. But we're given a little insight. Then around verses 17 and 18. For the creator of all that is looks at this man and says, shall I hide what I'm getting ready to do? Since Abraham is certainly going to become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Verse 19 says this, for I have known him so that he commands his children and his household after him. To guard the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and right ruling, so that the Lord, that Adonai, brings to Abraham what he has spoken to him. The covenant that eventually brought forth the Messiah that has produced our salvation and redemption was originated with this man. And the reason that he was chosen out of every other man on the face of the earth is because the Father knew that this man would not keep the covenant to himself, but would command his children to walk in it and their subsequent generations after him. And out of that covenant keeping, we have all of the tribes of Am Yisrael scattered abroad all over the earth, some knowing who they are and most not. And those of us who say we can't claim a bloodline, we can claim an adoption and a grafting in, and we're all together beneficiaries of this covenant. My dad was not very tall by many standards, not very wealthy by most. Worked hard, and matter of fact, he would work you into the ground if you gave him a moment to do so. Strong and resilient, a man of integrity, a man of prayer. When people say he prayed, that's not something he did on Sunday. He walked in prayer. His last years were spent on the front porch and swing, singing his prayers, making them up as he went. The man that you, many of you knew by meeting him in worship services or gatherings, is the man that would come home after long hours in a furniture factory, sweating in summer heat without air conditioning, and lay his lunchbox down on the ground and let me throw my baseball to him before he could get in the front door. Was the man that would come home on payday every once in a while and grin and wink at us kids and hand us a Hershey bar, a special treat. And he's the man that would come to me at Lavender Street Church. As I sit on those old natural oak, hard pews. And with tears in his eyes, he'd take me by the hand and say, son, would you like to come to the altar and pray with Daddy? Who I am today, and who my future generations will be, are rooted in the fact that my dad taught me how to pray. He has commanded his future generations, and we carry the covenant because of him. When you flip a few pages and you come to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, after those incredible words, "Hero Israel, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, your Elohim, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh, he is one." It is followed with this admonition, "And you shall love the Lord your Elohim with all your heart, with all your being, with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be in your heart, and you shall impress them upon your children, and shall speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you should bind them as a sign on your hand, that they should be frontless between your eyes, and you should write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." My dad, without realizing what he was perhaps doing in regards to this particular verse, rehearsed the word of God to me and to my family. Not so much that he sat and talked about it verbatim and read scripture, although he did those things, but because he lived it. Whoever you see mom and dad as on Sunday morning, that's exactly 100% who they are every other moment of the week and who they've been throughout my life. Dad's favorite verse, which he quoted very often, is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 16, where the Philippian jailer is about to end his own life, fearing that his inmates have run off. The Apostle Paul prevents him and says, "We are all here." And he admonishes this man. He says, "Believe on the Master Jesus, Yeshua, your Messiah, and you shall be saved." And this is the part that Dad always quoted: "You and your house." With tears rolling down his face, he would often grab us violently in the spirit, as he is well known to do. And after he had shook our liver and our soul loose and free, he would say to us, "He promised me my house. We're all going to be together. One of these days, we are all going to be forever together." And that doesn't mean that Dad couldn't be a humorous man. As spiritual as he walked, as powerful in the spirit as he lived, he was a man of wit, very quick humor. His brothers who are sitting here with us tonight, Uncle Ralph, Uncle JC, Uncle Kirby, thank you, valiant generation of men, for being with us tonight. But I'm sure these men could attest that there was more than one way you could get in trouble in life and have a little fun. I'll never forget sitting at the table, and Dad was standing beside the sink in the kitchen. Mom had made him this green sludge, some kind of barley green, something good for you. You got to drink this stuff. And I wondered, why is he standing beside the sink to drink the sludge? Mom's back is working at the stove, and Dad looks at me and winks, takes a little swig, and pours a good portion out into the sink. That process lasts a little while. Mom would turn around, and he's looking at her. Got the glass. Touch it to his lips. She turned her back, and he's pouring more out in the sink and winking at me. So that's where I got it from. Dad came home from the factory one day, and he had a friend there that, well, I would just say the presentation of his person was not the most glamorous. He had a protrusion of a stomach out front, and this friend had found a nail apron that, for whatever reason, he thought he needed to wear in the factory, and he had just enough of the strings to tie it together. And he had worked from the beginning that morning, somewhere around 7 o'clock, until the lunch whistle blew, He took off his apron and laid it to the side, and he ran to the lunchroom. Dad walked by and pulled out his pocket knife and thought he might cut off about that much from one of the strings. You can guess what happened. This man came back after lunch, and Dad said he squatted, he stood, he sucked in, he blew out, he bent over, he laid on the floor. Anything he could do to get those two strings not to tight to even touch. By this point, we're all in tears laughing, but Dad suddenly became spiritual. I shouldn't have done that. I feel real bad about that. I thought it wise to invite him to join me in a wrestling match. I was in high school. We had learned collegiate-style wrestling in high school, too. I got on all fours, said, Dad, you kneel beside me. You put my hand on my elbow, one around my middle. And when I count to three, I'm going to say go, and we're going to wrestle, okay? Sure, son. I count to three, I'll holler go, and within 10 seconds or less, Dad is sitting on my chest, looking at me, and says, is that how you do it, son? These are the things that I've laughed about. There have been a lot of things that we've wept about. While Dad wasn't as tall, as rich, as famous as many a man in his generation, every man in his generation has stood in his shadow. Abraham's day, he was the giant. And this day, Charlie Phillips has stood taller than all. And the last time I was at home, about a month ago, Dad took me out in the yard. He said, son, I want to show you where the boundary markers are. I thought, this is strange. I said, Dad, why are you wanting to show me the boundary markers? He said, well, I just want you to know. So he took me to all the four markers on the property, and he pointed them out. And he said, they're here. It's down between these trees. You see the metal post. One last time, my father established the boundaries for me the way he's always done. Physical boundaries aside, my dad has been a moral compass and an establisher of spiritual moral boundaries for our family. I now look back and realize that Dad was checking off his list. You see, he had done everything he needed to do. It installed and instilled in us everything that needed to be offered. He prayed all the prayers, and they had already been answered. Our crises, whatever they may have been resolved. Our issues are settled. His wife is in well-trained and capable hands. In my opinion, driving home from carrying the garbage off one last time, our master appeared in the windshield, and Daddy jumped, leaped into the master's hands, and the car just did whatever it needed to do. Many have said, well, you've got a legacy. No, we don't have a legacy. We have a legend. My dad is a legend. So I agree with the man, Joshua, who said, along with something else, Dad would often say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I can say to you tonight, as for this family and this house, we're going to serve the Master. And as far as I'm concerned, in our lives, let the legend continue.
So that was the eulogy that I offered for my dad prior to this opportunity to speak. The family had stood in line for about 2.5 hours, receiving friends and loved ones who wanted to come by and offer their condolences and their words of support and sympathy, perhaps their remembrances of my dad. Many, many people came through, people that I personally did not know, and said, you know, your dad was my buddy, my friend. I had several people approach us who attended church with them. You have to understand, I haven't been in this church congregation for almost 30 years. It's been a very, very long time. And they expressed the thought that my mom and dad were why these individuals had remained in that church, that when they first started attending there, my parents were among those that befriended them quickly and who provided role modeling and mentorship and encouragement and prayed with them. Several stood before me and said, I sit behind your parents on a weekly basis, and I watch the model of their worship and of their love and their consistency. My dad was a very powerful man in the spirit. A man who prayed and prayed often, and a man who walked out what he believed. I have a cousin who stood before me and said, you know, I'm inspired by him to try to be a better dad to my own kids. So the dad that I tried to be, the father, the grandfather that I desire to be, is modeled after him. My dad was a human being. He made mistakes. He wasn't perfect. But I can tell you that he loved the Messiah with all of his being and all of his heart. And very, very much looked forward to being together in his estimation, being together in heaven. I'm looking forward to the kingdom. And we talked about that. The mistakes that my dad may have made, or the failures that may have been in his life, of which I never really saw any. I make no imaginative misunderstanding here, though. I know he's human, has been human. But I can tell you that he walked it out with integrity to the best of his ability. And it's a model for you and I to grasp, to embrace, and try to walk and model our lives after. If we fail, get back up and keep trying. If we fall short, let's not excuse ourselves, but let's look unto him that is the author and the finisher of our belief, and trust him to strengthen us and grant us the grace necessary to walk a productive and righteous life. Let my dad's life and the life of him that continues in me and my family be an example for us all to follow, that we walk worthy of Messiah. Thank you for your prayers and your intercessions, for your support, and thank you for being a part of this audience today. Until next week, this is Barry with Reconnect. Shalom.